your life.
Oh, sweet. How exciting. Okay. I'm doing that for Taco's recording. Welcome. Sorry for the late start. A couple of technical difficulties. Let's pray, and we'll jump right into today's teaching. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for just this opportunity to come before you and hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not on, am I? Did Doug just run away? Okay, cool. That's okay. I can project well enough. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, we are in lesson 10. Lesson 10, so that starts on page 153, if you're not already there. Lesson 9 introduced the idea of preoccupation with self, looking into the first two elements of how to deal with problems biblically, that being biblical hope and biblical understanding. And also looking at the idea that, oh, there we go. I don't have to strain my voice as much. Looking at the idea that Jesus calls us to deny self, die daily, and follow him. This lesson, we're going to build on biblical understanding and biblical hope with the last two sections of how to deal with problems biblically being biblical change and biblical practice. So I want you guys to turn with me to page 155. We're jumping straight to the principles. So we're going to now go through principle 39 through 44 together. And as we're going through this, you guys are going to be highlighting specific verses. I might actually call on a few people to read. So raise your hand if you are keen on reading out loud for me. Anybody? Sweet. Taka, can you do Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8? You're going to be the first one. Anybody else? Sweet. Can you do 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2? I need two more people. Jenny, I'll have you do Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. And then one more. Anybody? Lizanne, can you do 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10? 7 through 10. Sweet. Everybody got theirs? All right. So the first principle, principle 39, if you guys will follow along with me, it says, you must take the focus off of yourself in daily situations and relationships by following God's commandments instead of sinning through self-belittlement or self-exaltation or self-pity. You are to regard others as more important than yourself and be a servant to God and others. I want you guys to highlight in that section, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And as we go through each of these, I want you guys to put a minus on things that we're meant to stop doing or to put off, and put a plus next to things in each of your own Bibles, next to things that we're meant to put on or to start doing, to take on for ourselves. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Taka, can you read for me, please?
Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own, interest, but also for the interest of others.
Thank you, Tucker. I'll actually stop you there. Thank you. Right? So real simply, right, using this to fortify this concept of principle 39, taking the focus off of yourself and regarding others more important than yourself in order to be a servant to God and to others, right? So the minus would be let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So we're meant to put off selfish ambition and conceit and put on lowliness of mind and esteeming others, right? So as we go through it, that's just as an example. We're not going to do that for each of these verses, but for you personally, look at the scriptures and put a minus next to things that we're supposed to put off and put a plus next to things that we're supposed to put on. All right, principle 40, you're to put off the sins of envy, jealousy, covetousness, and greed, which characterized your life apart from Jesus Christ. Rather, you are to delight yourself in the Lord, commit your ways to him, and wait patiently for him. Instead of being jealous and having selfish ambition, you are to be pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, and unwavering without hypocrisy. I want you guys to highlight Psalm chapter 37, verses 1 through 9. And on your own time, I want you to read that one and identify the things you're meant to put on and things you're meant to put off. That's Psalm 37, 1 through 9. I want you to highlight. Principle 41 says, since you have been bought with the precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ and are not your own, you are God's possession and a steward of all that the Lord has provided for you. As the Lord's servant, you have the privilege and responsibility to be faithful with all that he has placed in your care. As a servant of the Lord, you should not seek to be served or to receive credit from men, but instead should seek only to please the Lord. I want you guys to highlight 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And who did I have reading that? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Yes, please, go ahead.
This is the way any person is to regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy.
Wonderful, right? God is the one who takes care of the results. We are called to be faithful in the present. That's all he says. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So much anxiety and worry and stress comes from being concerned with the results. Well, what's going to happen? Right? I found this one is very common among youth. And probably among adults as well. I just work with youth, so I see it quite prevalently. Not wanting to serve because they might miss out on something better, right? How many of you guys have not gone to something for worry of missing out on something better, right? Worrying about the results. Well, if I don't do this, then this might happen, or this might happen, or I might miss out on this, or... It's really simple. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Be present. God will take care of the results. Principle number 42. Examine or judge yourself continually in a biblical manner, and do not compare yourself with others to determine whose approval you ultimately seek. And that was Galatians. I want you guys to highlight Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. And who did I have reading Galatians? Go for it, Jenny. Thank you.
For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Whoever thinks himself to be something, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have to rejoice in himself alone.
Wonderful. This idea is that you're not comparing yourself to others, but rather doing everything to please God. That has to be the foundation for the reason you do things. If you're doing things in comparison to somebody else, like, oh, I see that they're serving so well, I'm not serving as well as them, so I'm going to serve so that I can be like them. That ultimately, one, it's prideful. But that ultimately is going to lead you to a place of like, okay, who are you actually serving in that situation? Who are you actually serving? You're serving your own self-image. That's what you're serving, right? So we need to not be people who compare ourselves with others. Moreover, oh, well, they're much better at that than me, so I'm just not even going to volunteer. Like, if that's the standard... Then I'm not going to volunteer, right? you come to find out that actually when you just step up and serve, that the body of Christ fulfills different aspects. We're going to talk about that a little bit more, but it's ridiculous to compare yourself to somebody else, right? We could go on and on if we put a list of things that Joe can do next to a list of things that Taka can do, right? We could go, oh, well, this they can kind of do this the same. They do this, or they can't do this, or he can't do this, or he can't do this. And if the whole purpose of that is like, oh, well, Taka is so much better than Joe. So, okay, so where have we gotten? Literally nowhere, and it's useless. All this information, it's like okay, it's just information. Now, that's not to say I'm going to step up and lead worship, but it's easy to use these types of things in comparison to either discredit yourself or even encourage yourself. It's both of them are wrong, because we're not meant to compare ourselves to one another. We're simply just to do things for the Lord, right? Ultimately, you will fall flat. You will experience burnout, right? How many of you guys have experienced burnout? If you're not doing things because you know that God wants you to do them, you will burn out. You will fall flat on your face. You will be exhausted because your reason, your purpose for doing whatever it is empty. Principle 43, thank God for apparent deficiencies that you cannot correct. Thank God for apparent deficiencies that you cannot correct, and correct all actual deficiencies in your life that hinder you from serving God and edifying others. I want you guys to highlight 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Lizanne, I believe that was yours, right? If you could read that for me, 7 through 10. Despite Paul's constant attacks from Satan, his focus was still on God. Despite all these things coming against him, his focus was still on God. And he remained thankful to God and even boasted in his infirmities. Right? He didn't go around going like, I can't do anything for God unless I'm delivered from this. Oh, I'm useless. I just can't do it. I'm so tired of all of this. I can't do this until I'm delivered. I'm useless. Right? If that was his comment, then where was his focus? On himself. Right? He's thinking, I can only do these things if I'm... Oh, once this is finished, or once this is sorted in my life, or once this is done, then I can serve God. Then I can do things for God again. Then I can start writing letters to the churches. Man, how much we wouldn't have if Paul just fell apart because of this. My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Where's his focus? It's on Jesus. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's why in this principle 43, he says to thank God for apparent deficiencies that you cannot correct. You have no idea how the Lord will use those things in your life. Principle 44 says you are to practice love without hypocrisy in demonstrating the fruit of Christ's life in your thoughts, speech, and actions. Each of these are important when regarding stewardship. So I want you guys to turn with me to page 157. We're going to look at the biblical principles of stewardship, right? God, or looking at number one, God is sovereign over every facet of his creation, yet he graciously allows you to be a steward, or managing servant, over what he places in your care. You should recognize that everything you have, your body, material goods, time, abilities, and spiritual gifts has been graciously given to you by God. And be as a steward of all that the Lord has entrusted to you. You are to be faithful in the care and use of God's provisions. And I want you guys to highlight Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, we're not going to read through all of it. I'm just going to sum it up for you. It's the story of it's called the parable of the talents. It's where the king went off, and as he went off to do business, he left in the care of three of his servants, 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And that talent is a sum of money. It's a fairly large sum of money. Now, there's debate as to how large that sum of money is, but I find it not to be super important, because it's anywhere between 9 to 20 years worth of wages at that point. So we can just agree that it's a large sum of money, right? A large sum of money has been placed in each of these guys, even down to the 1 talent, right? That's still a large sum of money. And the purpose was for them to steward it well, to utilize it well. And as the parable goes, the man with the 5 talents and the man with 2 talents invest them to some degree and multiply them. The man with 5 talents earns another 5 talents on top of that he already had. The man with 2 talents earns another 2 talents on top of what he already had. And the man with 1 talent, instead of earning more, he goes and he hides it, right? He goes and buries it in a field. Each man that multiplied their talents received the same admonishment. They received the same sort of praise. You have been faithful. Says the exact same thing to both of them. You have been faithful. And the faithfulness was not based off of how much money they made, nor was it based off of their relative ability. It was based off of the fact that they did something with the money. They were faithful. Now, the one who hid the talent was not called faithful. He was called wicked and lazy. And you think to yourself, well, hold on, let's examine this. He didn't lose the money. The amount of money that the man gave to a servant, he got back. But the man called him wicked and lazy. And the reason he called him wicked and lazy is like, you should have at least put it in the bank. I could have then at least collected insurance on it. But you did nothing with it. And the reason that he did nothing with it is because he was fearful. He was fearful as to what might happen to that money and what might happen to him if he loses that money. See, being a faithful servant is not based on your ability, nor is it based off of what you're given. It's just that you actually do something with it, and that you don't live by fear. That you're not stunted by what could be, but rather you press forward and you do something with it. We're supposed to be faithful stewards regardless of ability. Next section, 2. Your motivation to be a faithful steward is to be centered on God and his objectives instead of a preoccupation with self. As a trustworthy steward of God's grace, you must demonstrate Christ-likeness in your own walk. As you remain faithful to present God's message of reconciliation through Jesus Christ to others. And I want you guys to highlight 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. I'm going to read it here for you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I'm going to add verse 21 in there as well, because it's one of my favorites. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's our whole foundation for being an ambassador. To be sharing these things. You are identified as, if you are a new creation in Christ, you are identified as an ambassador for Christ. So it makes sense that you act accordingly. We delight in doing all to the glory of God, and that our greatest responsibility in magnitude and value is the message of reconciliation to unbelievers. So I want you guys to make sure that you highlight 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. In the following subparagraphs, B, C, D, and E, are four areas of stewardship. Four areas of stewardship. They are the stewardship of spiritual gifts, the stewardship of time, the stewardship of body, and the stewardship of material goods. I'm going to speak briefly on the stewardship of the spiritual gifts, because this is something that we are going to get into at length a little bit more in this class, but definitely as we go down the line, we're going to be talking quite a bit about spiritual gifts. So I'm going to be a little bit more brief on that than the other sections, but it says this. So B, the goal of your service must be to give glory to God instead of receiving honor from others or gratifying your own self-centered desires. The exercise of spiritual gifts should not bring glory to yourself, but should build up the body of Christ and cooperate with God in fulfilling his purposes in the world. Bottom line, it's not about you. It's about him. This is an issue we see facing multiple churches in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, that they were utilizing spiritual gifts for their own glory, right? That's actually why we have a lot of the teaching that we have on the spiritual gifts, is because a lot of the churches were using them improperly, right? Using them to glorify themselves rather than glorifying God. The next one is the stewardship of time in C. And I want you guys to highlight Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. That is found in, I believe, number 3. Yeah, number 3. Because we're not going to go through all of these different points. I want to read for you Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." And there's a couple words for time used there in the Greek. And this one is specifically leans towards opportunity, the opportunities that you have. the time that you have using it opportunistically, right? That's the idea, is that the opportunities that you have, are you taking them and are you using them well? The stewardship of your time is not to be focused on fulfilling your own self-centered desires. But God desires that we would make the most of our opportunities. The issue is not the time that we are allotted, but rather what we do with the time that we have. You'll see that this is repeated through each of these sections, that it's not about what you're given or the time that you have or the gifts that you have. It's about what you do with them. How are you going to utilize the time, knowing that it is a gift from God and that He has given you opportunities to walk in? Are you going to sit back and wait for them to pass by, or are you going to take hold of the opportunities? Not as fools, but as the wise. Next is stewardship of your body. The care and the discipline of your body is to, and we're going to just go briefly through this list, enable your body to be used for the Lord instead of being used to gratify fleshly desires. Give evidence that you are not your own, but have been bought with a price. Demonstrate that you give glory to God as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord your spiritual service of worship by presenting your body as a living sacrifice to Him. And demonstrate self-control that you may receive a heavenly reward. I want you guys to highlight Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. We're not going to read it. I just want you guys to highlight it. Look at it on your own. This idea that our bodies are not our own. They belong to God as temples of the Holy Spirit. All that is done with the body is to be done for the glory of God. And these things include getting adequate rest, exercising properly, taking care of what you eat, wearing appropriate clothing, maintaining sexual purity, remembering that you and I, we are not our own. We, again, are ambassadors for Christ. While the world would tell you even to do some of these things, the world's focus is always your personal image, isn't it? The focus on you, what you're doing and how you're being presented. Isn't that right? Especially when we talk about getting adequate rest and exercising properly and taking care of what you eat. These things are really hot topics at present. You say the world would have one argument for this and another argument for this. Well, the Bible's argument is that we're living for the glory of God, full stop. That's why we do what we do. Well, the world would tell you to do these things or to not do these things. The focus is always you, your desires, your personal image. Our reason for doing these things is for the Lord. That I might actually have the energy to serve the Lord. I'm too tired to serve. Maybe, I don't know, get some more sleep. I don't have the energy. Maybe what you're eating isn't giving you what you ought to, giving you what you need. Now, I completely understand that there are some things that are out of your hands when it comes to energy or whatever it is, tiredness and these things. I want you to remind you guys that even Paul had a thorn in his side. But we do need to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to serve the Lord well, right? Making appropriate choices to serve the Lord well. And the next one, the stewardship of material goods. Your stewardship, I want you guys to highlight Luke 16, 10 through 13. It's part of that first part of E. Your stewardship of material goods indicates your level of spiritual maturity. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," we'll talk about that in a second, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Right. And Jesus uses mammon. Raise your hand. You guys know what Jesus is talking about when he says mammon. This is the words of Christ. Yeah. A couple of you, maybe not all of you. Mammon was the, put it this way, like the deity, the false idol of wealth, right? That's the idea. So Jesus often used mammon to draw to this idea of wealth, worldly wealth, right? So saying it, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, worldly wealth, who will commit you to trust the true riches? But ultimately what he's talking about, you must be faithful in what is least so that we can be confident that you would also be faithful in what is much. Jesus compares our wealth and possessions to this idol. We are shown that we are not meant to wait to show our faithfulness when a quote-unquote big opportunity comes, but rather our faithfulness is meant to be consistent. I mean, that's the defining characteristic of faithfulness is consistency through everything, right? It's kind of a running joke, I would say, through people who serve, like the pastors, that it's like, usually the people who volunteer to like clean the toilets and stack the chairs are going to be in some sort of pastoral ministry. Because they're faithful with the little things, the things that are behind the scenes. Now, obviously, that's not always true. That is to say, if you volunteer to stack chairs, we're not going to make you a pastor. There's obviously a lot more that goes along with it. But if we did some like big event or something like that, it's a huge red flag to us. If we were doing this event and somebody who's never served in the church or never done anything, they come and says, "Oh, I want to be up front. I want to speak. You know, I believe that God's given me the gift to speak." And it's like, we don't know you. You haven't served with us, right? If you haven't been faithful in the little things, why would we trust you with the quote unquote bigger opportunities? But I'll tell you this. As pastors, one of the things that we value the most is somebody showing up on a Sunday morning before everybody else and putting out the coffee and unstacking the chairs. And that's extremely valuable to the body of Christ. That is an amazing way to be serving the body of Christ, unseen. It's extremely valuable to us. But more importantly, it's valuable to the Lord. It's what he wants us to be doing. So you cannot be counted on for the little things. How then can you be counted on for the big things? One of the greatest spiritual battles you will fight is in choosing whether to serve the God of the universe or the God of money. Do you want to serve the God of the universe or the God of money? The God over all creation or the God of money, which really boils down to, again, you guys, serving yourself. There is no middle ground in your allegiance. In fact, your real interests and quote-unquote treasures are revealed by your perspective on and the use of material goods. And it's more than just financial wealth. It's whatever you've been given, whatever you have, your possessions, the things that we think most frequently do indicate our true desires. Recognizing this is instrumental in refocusing on the Lord if your focus is elsewhere. It is by definition more difficult to be in relationship with God if your focus is elsewhere, right? So God has made us stewards to utilize our resources for his glory, our time, our possessions, our bodies, and our spiritual gifts for his glory, to serve others and not ourselves, right? So let's turn to page 160 to look at what it looks like dying to self by serving others. And we're actually going to take a pause here. We'll take about a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back to looking at dying to self by serving others. Cool? All right.